All right. In 303 AD. In 303 AD. So we are 300 years removed from when Jesus walked the earth. There was an emperor by the name of Diocletian. And he made an edict that it was illegal to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Everyone was expected to renounce Jesus and to follow after and worship the Roman gods, which also included himself. When you're emperor, you can do that kind of thing. If you obeyed, then you would be released from prison, from jail. If you disobeyed, you might be martyred. You would most certainly lose all of your property. You would most certainly lose all of your possessions. What do you think people did? What would you do if you were the follower of Jesus Christ? Just leave and go to... Everything is Rome. Everything's the Roman Empire. You can't get out of it. All right. What would you do if you were commanded to renounce your baptism, deny the divinity of Jesus Christ, and worship a false god, or lose all your possessions and might very well likely lose your life? Lose your life? Some did that. Some did make that choice. Some were martyred. Hold on, Lance. Some were martyred. Many, many renounced Christ, worshipped at the false altars and the false gods of Rome. But that then presented the church with a problem. What do you do with someone who renounced their baptism? What do you do with someone who shows up to church on Sunday morning having said that they didn't believe in Jesus when you know they were baptized, you know they were a follower, maybe you went with them through their catechism class, maybe you've been through foundations with them, maybe you worshiped with them, but they were of those who decided to, there's no Jesus. We'll sacrifice to this false god. If you were the pastor in charge, and someone walked through your door, and they had renounced Jesus, what would you do? Haley, what would you do? Huh? What would you do? Lance, what would you do? Oh, you're in a boat in the middle of the ocean. You don't know what's going on.
I would directly at them and say, why?
Why? Yeah, that's a fair question. Why is a fair question.
I would make them repent and start over.
Repent and start over. Would they have to get rebaptized? There's no rebaptism in the Bible. But they denied it. They said it wasn't real. They said it wasn't true, that Jesus is not king. Under duress. They said it under duress. Okay? Reggie, what do you think? If you were the pastor in charge, you're the new pastor because, mind you, I was martyred and killed because the Romans found out that I was leading a church. And so my head is actually on a spit outside the city gate. You're now in charge. And these people who denied their baptism, denied Jesus, have showed back up again. What would you do? Would you let them in?
No.
No. All right, why? I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I respect the line, but why?
Because they denounced Jesus.
All right. This was true. This really happened. This is a part of the story. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What makes you a follower of Jesus? Haley's so confused right now. She has no... And this is why we affirm in the Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. That's what we're going to unpack today. But before we get there, let's make sure that we understand the Holy Catholic Church, right? Because I know a few weeks ago when I threw that holy hand grenade out there, some of you were a little struggling what to do with that hot potato. So I want to make sure that Adam's got you guys all settled in. When we say Holy Catholic Church, what are we talking about? What's the Holy Catholic Church? What's that? All embracing? The Holy Catholic Church is the whole community of faith. All. Where? Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Past, present, future. Yep. Catholic means whole. All of us together. Universal. Okay. Does Catholic mean Roman Catholic? No. Little C. And truth be told, the Roman Catholic Church started to be called Roman Catholics as a dig. It was an insult because Protestants were like, oh, you're not part of the Catholic Church. You're part of the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? It was an insult. Now, we don't mean that now. We're not being disrespectful now. But that's originally how it got started. Instead of being universal, we started separating each other. But that's not what Catholic means, right? So you can have someone who's part of the Roman Church, and you can have someone who's part of the Protestant Church, and you can have someone who's part of the Orthodox Church. But what does it mean to be a part of the Catholic Church? Well, I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, these are the things that we share as creed. Creed, okay? Yeah. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. That's the whole community of faith, heaven and earth. God's family, brothers and sisters. So if they believe in Jesus and they go to St. Pat's and Troy, are they my brothers and sisters? 100%. 100%. Yep. Yep. It's the body and bride of Jesus. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You guys, we good on that one, right? Fellow citizens and heirs with the saints, members of the household of God. Yeah. Communion, but what's the communion? I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, but what's the communion? Someone guide me with communion. What's the communion of saints? Me and Bobby McGee. Florida sun get you? Jackson, give me an understanding. Help me understand what's the communion of saints.
The communion is the local manifestation of God's family unified around the word and the sacraments to bring Jesus' kingdom to earth as it is.
Very good. Yeah, manifestation. What does the word manifest mean, to manifest something? What's that? Did you say thrive? To manifest something. Lance, you're still in your boat in the ocean. Come on, come back to shore, dude. What's the word? What's manifest? I heard some answers in the back.
To conjure.
Oh my goodness. Did you watch Hocus Pocus last night?
No.
Conjuring. To manifest, to make reveal. Yeah. To manifest, to come visual. So you have the Catholic, really big, but to manifest, the local communion manifests that which is true of the Catholic. So it gives Jesus some skin. Yeah. So this is why we don't forsake gathering together, as is the habit of son, right? All right, so find in your books the copy of the Creed. And let's just see if we know where we're at, what we're doing. It should be in the beginning section. There you go. Reg, we got it. Porter, who ports? A porter is one who ports, right? Okay, all right. Yeah. All right, so let's look at that. Let's look at the various components, the various pieces. Remember, we have Article 1, Article 2, Article 3. First article, Redzi, talks about who? The Father. Keyword Father. Article 2, Sonia talks about who? Jesus. All the components of Jesus. Kind of walks us in very broad strokes through his life. Okay. Article 3, Haley, is about who? Yeah. And so what is it walking us through? The components of the Holy Spirit, Lance. It is a part of that. Yeah, so the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, broad strokes. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, right? I believe in the Holy Spirit. Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. I'm born into, by the Holy Spirit, born into this thing called the church. Okay? I experience that on the local level. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. And the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Okay? See that flow there? The Holy Spirit, this lifelong guide to our maturity. The church is where we are born into the faith. Some call the church mom. If God is the Father, then the church is the mother. And it's where we are nurtured in our faith. Does that make sense? That make sense? No?
Well, we call it our bride. Why would it be your mother?
It's not your bride. It's not your bride. Whose bride is it? His bride. What's that? Why would the church be the mother? Why would the bride be the mother? Because brides and mothers can't be the same thing.
I don't know.
Can a bride and a mother be the same thing? Can you be a bride and a mother? Yeah. Yeah. A mom does what? What does a mom do? It's a great question. What's a mom do?
Nurture.
Nurture, right? Nurture. Yeah. The church is where our faith is nurtured. The faith is where our church, where the church is where, yes, porter, the one who ports.
When I was a, like, I don't know, 4 or 5, I used to thank God and Mother Nature were married.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can see that. I can understand that. Yeah. You have a very good memory. You have a very good memory. Okay, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The church is where we are born into the faith. Resurrection speaks to our death, life everlasting, our eternal life. What could forgiveness of sins imply? Yeah, what's up, Lance? Whoa. Time out. I'm not going to let you get away with that.
God.
Okay.
God.
The Father?
Yeah.
Okay. That guy. You got laps after class tonight. That guy? Jackie.
I'm not
in flip-flops. Okay, the Father. Go ahead. He forgives our sins. So if one aspect, if we look at this third article, okay, we got a part of the third article that talks about our birth. We have a part of the third article that talks about our death. We have a part of the third article that talks about our life everlasting. What's left? We have our birth. We have our death. We have the life everlasting. What's in between? The life. And the creed describes the life as walking in the forgiveness of sins. That there's something. There's something about following after Jesus that can be so embodied by the simple phrase, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. If the Christian life is one of struggling with sin, that makes the church one messy place. If our life following Christ can be embodied by the phrase, the forgiveness of sins, that would make the church, the communion of saints, one very messy place. Because Reggie, what are you working on? Forgiveness of sins, man. Me and Bobby McGee, what are you working on? Forgiveness of sins. Ryan, what are you working on? Forgiveness of sins. Sonny, what are you? We're all working on this thing called the forgiveness of sins. Walking in forgiveness and grace in the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that neat? Is that clean? Is that tidy? That means that this must always be a community that is patient, that's understanding towards the timid and the imperfect. It's so, so very crucial that we regularly affirm we believe in the forgiveness of sins. So here's young Pastor Reggie, okay? My head's on a spit outside the city gate. He's here, has to pastor this little church of y'all. Sorry, dude. I did the best I could. Good luck. Okay? Some of them held true. Some of us have been martyred. Some of us have been killed. And some of us have walked in and we denied the faith. We denied Jesus. We succumbed to the temptation. We gave into it. And perfectly honest and understandably so, those of us who stood the line, we really don't think that, you know, these sellouts should be allowed back. But Reggie, what do we believe? We believe in the forgiveness of sins. That's what we believe. So is it going to be messy? Yeah. Is it going to be hard to walk in relationship? Sure. But I've received grace and you've received grace. And she's received grace, and he's received grace. So we have to affirm, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. So let's unpack that. What does that mean? What do those pieces mean? You okay, Yaya? You all right?
So, but like, I would want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
You want to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knowing you're going to make it through the fire? Or you want to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thinking it's going to be burning up about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit?
No, I want to know, like, I want to know, okay, I want to, like, say I'm going to live by that example, and they stood their ground, and then they got stuck in that fire and got saved.
Yeah, but they didn't know that at the time.
They thought they were going to burn.
I also know my heart. Like, if you put a donut on that table... We're just talking about a donut, okay? Okay? Let alone have a Roman guard with a giant sword over Bill's head. Deny Christ, I'm cutting off his head. And there's a whole pile of heads right there.
I could live through me. I couldn't live through my children or someone else.
Right? There's a whole pile of heads right there. We'll just add his. Do you deny Jesus? Talk about a mess, right? I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Okay, so... we need to unpack some things. You guys ready to do this? Yep. It's getting real.
Wouldn't that be like the Jews during World War II with Germany?
Oh, there's been echoes of this for all time. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
How long was that in 303 AD?
How long was that period of time? How long was his rule? I don't remember. Not too long after that, Constantine comes onto the scene and everything shifts and changes. There are multiple waves of the great persecution, and it was different. It was at various levels depending on what city you lived in and who was the governor at that place and time. Yeah, so.
Was that during the Hellenistic era?
Gina. That's good, man. That was a good term from antiquity. Yeah, Hellenism, which was spoke to who? Spoke about what? Who are the Hellenists? Very good. Well done. Well done. Welcome back to shore. Welcome back to shore. You still have to run laps, but... Okay, what are sins? Come on now. Work with me, please. What are sins? Jackson, what are sins? Don't look at the book. No cheating. I want to hear what your thoughts are. What are sins?
Acts or like thoughts that we do that go against the Father.
Okay. I like it. The one who ports. What do you think sins are? That is your name. Porter. The one who ports. It's exactly, it's literally what it means. I just flipped it. Kevin? That's a bigger... How did we get to Kevin?
I used to like movies.
I love the movie Minions, man. I love it. That's good stuff. That's why they call you Kevin?
Yeah,
you...
and my grand uncle
would call
me Kevin.
Okay.
Bad.
Bad. Okay, good. Lance. Sins. What are sin? What's sin? Not good. Okay. Reg? Ooh. How did we get to sickness? Nice job throwing it back on me. I respect the game. Game respects game. Okay, let's unpack this. Okay? See if the computer will play. Sins are, read with me. Sins are thoughts, words, and deeds that arise from my corrupted nature and fall short of God's will. Let's all write that down in your box if you haven't already. Sins are thoughts, words, and deeds, that should be familiar when you memorize the prayer of confession, that arise from my corrupted nature and fall short of God's will. Port, you write that one down?
It's like not in my book. Oh,
let's get to the right section. Oh, there you go. All right.
I did not see that.
It's all right, buddy. Thoughts, words, and deeds. Most merciful God, I confess I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed.
His name became Doug because he was called Bugadugga.
Bugadugga. Bug. Bugadugga. There's a Porter song. He's smiling. The one who ports. Okay, where do these thoughts, words, and deeds arise from? They arise from my corrupted nature. They fall short of God's will. Okay, what were you created to be? Perfect image bearers, good image bearers of God, right?
We'll go back to the second one. We're cut off from God by self-centered treason and corruption.
Wow. Boy, what a coincidence. Kind of lucked out on that one, didn't we? What were you created to be? Good image bearers of God. That means that you have the freedom to love correctly. That also means you have the freedom to love wrong. If you have the freedom to love correctly, that means God also has to give you what? The freedom to love wrong. Sin, in many respects, is loving wrongly. You're created to know, to live, to love, and glorify Him. Sin is actually self-love. The Father, His love is always radiating out. The Father gives, the Father provides, the Father protects. That's what a loving Father does. And that love is extended out to the Son, and that Son receives the love, and by the power of the Spirit washes it over us. The love of God, divine love, goes out. Okay? You heard maybe some echoes of that this morning if you were in the message. We talked about the husband's role and how he is to love, nurture, and care. Grace gives. Grace is generous. Grace goes first. Sin is a self-love. It's not a love that flows to another, but it's a love that's turned inward on me. It's self-serving. It's self-focused. It's taking. It's not receiving. So, is sin an action or an attitude? Both. Is it conduct or character?
Both.
Both? Are you sure? Eyebrows got pretty high on that one. Is it? Which one is it? Conduct or character or both? It includes our thoughts, our words, our deeds. Because it flows out of where? Where does it arise out of? That fountainhead followed all the way back upstream. Corrupted nature. The fountainhead is corrupted. It's poisoned at the source. What we do is just the manifest out of who and what we are. At our core, we are corrupt. We are poisonous. Yes, Lance. Okay, the gum fell out of your mouth into your lap. You got it? Okay, good. You have to ask your mom. That's a new rule that we have here. Okay? This is so important. It arises out of my corrupted nature. Okay, Jesus had this conflict constantly with the Pharisees. He would call them whitewashed sepulchers. Okay? What do you think a whitewashed sepulcher is? A what? White trash. No? 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 Even if we don't know what it is, we know it's not that. Okay? No, it's not white trash. What is a whitewashed sepulcher? Anyone ever heard the term sepulcher? We're moving. Ah, okay. We're getting closer to Halloween. Anyone know what a sepulcher is?
Is it some kind of ghost?
No, not a ghost. Sepulcher. A monument, a tomb. Okay? A whitewashed tomb. And what the habit was, especially this, hand down, thank you, okay? Especially the time of year when Jesus is using this term, it was the family habit to go out and to wash the tombs of loved ones, of family members, to sweep them out, to clean them out, to make things look nice on the outside, to whitewash them, to bleach them with lime so they look nice and neat. But still, what's on the inside? Death. They're still full of death. You can dress up the outside all you want, but on the inside, it's still death. It arises from our corrupted nature. It falls short of God's will. We need a new heart. I had such a beautiful, dramatic pause. It was weighty. It was so heavy. I drop this theological microphone. I walk off, and then I've got this drunk lady up front. It's just way to ruin the vibe. Reggie, I'm sorry. You're going to have to do the best you can. I did the best I could. Pastor them well, buddy. Pastor them well. We need a new heart here, okay? This is what we need you guys to meditate and reflect on. Read with me, please. They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Psalm 53:3. Let's read it again. Ready? They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Psalm 53:3. Okay? Fallen short of God's will. We all have fallen short of our divine design. You were designed to be a good image bearer of God who knows and lives, who loves and glorifies Him. Sin, the corrupted nature, poisoned from the very core. It's not just that we do bad things. It's that the heart is so turned inward. All we can do. It's maybe sometimes, do okay things. But still at our core, we're corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. All have fallen away. So what are the corporate implications of that? Okay? It's bad enough, all right? If you got one kid at home, it's bad enough having one messed up kid. Okay? What happens when you add two? What happens when you add three? Mama said amen. What happens if you have a whole church of 50 corrupt, self-centered, self-serving people? You know what happens? It gets messy. Fellowship is the hospital room where the Spirit convicts and guides. A sin that's not confronted becomes poisonous. It will rot the heart of a church from the inside out. A sin that is not confronted will rot a church from the inside out. Because sin, like a disease, is very communicable. It's easy if Reggie has greed in his heart for that to overflow into somebody else's heart, into somebody else's heart, into somebody else's heart. It's easy if someone gets bitter for that bitterness to spread and that bitterness to spread and that bitterness to spread. That's why sometimes Jesus will talk about sin like it's yeast that works its way through the entire loaf. It's a very, very serious thing.
Is that why they eat the bread without yeast?
So that's Passover. Okay. Passover, there wasn't enough time to let the bread rise, okay, when you put yeast, and so it's unleavened bread. But Jesus will jump on this idea because he'll talk about yeast and how during this time of the year you have to go through and clean all the leaven out of your house and clean all this raising agents out of your house and to think about, get the sin out of your life, get the sin out of your life. So Jesus takes this Old Testament idea and he builds on it even more. Yeah, but think about it. How hard is it going to be to get, you know, leaven out of a loaf? It works its way in and out of the whole thing, right? This is sin. This is corruption. We need a new heart. We need a new heart. Well, big question. How does God respond to sin? Don't look. I want to hear your ideas. I love that you share, and I love that you answer questions. I just want to make sure that some other people have a chance to share too, okay? The one who ports? Kevin. What's that? Hey, I like that, dude. That's good. That's real good. Okay. How does God respond to sin? I want you to hold on to your answer and think it through. Make sure it's biblically correct, okay? All right. How does God respond to sin? Is it unicorns and rainbow kittens? Yeah, so we have a problem, right? He hates it. He hates it. In fact, the Bible uses a pretty serious word for the way he feels about sin. How does God respond to sin, Tiffany?
Conviction.
Conviction, okay. Lance?
He's like, dude, this is like, you sinned again? Fine, I'll let it go this time, but this is like your 1,000th warning. And then he just lets him go.
Just lets him go. He just lets it slide. Does he let sin slide? Is something as poisonous and lecherous and destructive as sin in your house? Is mom just going to let it slide? But the father will. He might. Mom won't. Hold on a second. How serious is sin? How serious is it? How dangerous is it? It's so dangerous, so serious, that the only thing that will inoculate a poisoned, destroyed heart from sin is the pure blood of Jesus Christ. So you're telling me that the Father's just going to let it slide? Why don't we take a look, okay? Read with me. In wrath, God opposes all sin. In mercy, God offers all sinners forgiveness through Jesus' sacrifice. Let's write that down. Write it down, Porter. In wrath, God opposes all sin. In mercy, God offers all sinners forgiveness through Jesus' sacrifice. All right, so what do you think about when you hear the word wrath? Just want you to think for a second. Then what comes to mind when you hear the word wrath? That in wrath, God opposes all sin. Reg?
Anger.
Bobby McGee, wrath. Destruction. Lance, wrath. Abuse. Okay. Port. There's wrath, a holy wrath there. It's a good mom. Jackson, wrath.
This like sense that comes over you and just like crumbles you.
Crumbles you? Okay. Okay. Does your dad ever get wrathful?
Yeah. You get to the line.
There's a line. There's a line. Wrath. Imagine, if you will, we're in Israel right now. Maybe we're right on the place where the Gaza Strip and Israel meet 2 weeks before Palestinians and Israelis were locked into gridlock. Hamas tore through the borders, kidnapped my kids, and took them back over to their side. Am I justified in feeling wrath? Would you be surprised to find out that the Father feels wrath against that which is destroying his kids? Is that okay? Why do I feel wrath? I feel wrath because I have love. If I didn't love my kids, would I have wrath? Would I feel wrath? No, I'm feeling wrath. I feel wrath because I have love. Because first, I'm a loving Father, Father Almighty. The wrath of God flows out of the fountain of God's love. You're like, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Isn't that kind of weird? But not if you actually start to think about it. He opposes all sin. All that poisonous, rancorous rot that wreaks havoc on his children. Oh, there is wrath against all sin. And like an expert surgeon will go in and longs to work his way in and out and through that very child to remove all of that disease, all of that corruption, all of that treason. I mean, if I go over to, Bobby McGee does a great job cleaning here at the church. Let's say I ask him to go down to the cleaning cabinet and bring us up a bottle of bleach. Could you do that? You could do that. Let's say we took that bottle of bleach and we put a nice fancy pink sticker on it and called it Sunkissed.
Oh, no.
Okay? Now, we changed the label, so it's okay to drink it now, right? Right? We could serve that in the blasting zone. I'm sure the blasting zone would love to drink Sunkist. Wouldn't they love to drink Sunkist? We just happen to have a bottle here that's labeled Sunkist. We call it Sunkist, and therefore it truly must be Sunkist, right? Oh, I am, but that's exactly what we do. We'll take that which he so opposes and hates, and we'll change the label, and we'll think that that changes the consequence, that that will change the effect. We'll call it something else. We'll relabel it. You can call bleach Sunkist all you want. It's still going to melt you from the inside out. Yes, Lance, it melts you. I know, but melting's a little bit more, you know, sickening. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like that, like that. The part of the problem is that with sin, if you do that enough, if you play with it enough, you dance with it enough, it does something to your conscience. Okay, what's conscience? Anyone know what your conscience is? I want you to put your hand down. Thank you. I want you to put your hand down. I love that you guys have things to say. I appreciate that. I just want to give other people a chance to speak. Okay? Conscience. Sonia, what do you think your conscience is?
It's the Jiminy Cricket on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Yes or no.
Well, we all know what we do to Jiminy Cricket, don't we? Guilt gut, yeah. Yeah, it is that inner conviction of what you believe to be right or wrong in a given moment. Okay? What you believe to be right or wrong. And it's a gift from God, and God expects you to follow it. Now, is your conscience always right? Nope. No, your conscience can be wrong. Your conscience can change. But it's given to you to help guide you in what is right and what is wrong. It's shaped by experience. It's shaped by God's word. It's shaped by God's spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, okay? Don't let your conscience become numb. Don't let your conscience become numb. Numb to pain, numb to the sin, numb to the consequence of it, okay? In mercy, God offers all sinners forgiveness. Thank you, Porter. Yep, go ahead. Yeah.
Doug finished early.
Yeah. No, Doug's good. Doug's good. In mercy, God offers all sinners forgiveness. So the question is, what's mercy? What is mercy? Ryan, what do you think mercy is?
Graceful.
Okay. Ever played mercy? I wouldn't play mercy with you. I bet you I would lose. You have like a man job and have man hands, and I'm a non-manly pastor with boyish hands, I'm pretty sure. And so we might play mercy, and what's going to happen? I'm going to what? Ask for mercy, which means what? What's that? Lose what? Yeah, mercy is a gift. The removal of a staying of the consequence. That yes, sin kills. The blood of Jesus cleanses. Jesus, God will give me mercy through the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, there still might be some consequences, right? But there's not going to be eternal consequences, meaning I still get to enjoy eternal union with the Father. I still get to enjoy union with God. I might experience some temporal consequences, right? Okay? Just an example. I wish I had a better one right now. Let's say I'm so sick and tired of working with you stinky Christians, okay? I'm just going to go out tonight. I'm going to hit the bars and get completely trashed and drink you all away, okay? I wake up in the morning with a tremendous hangover. I ask God to forgive me. Will he forgive me? Does the hangover go away? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. There's still going to be some consequences. Who knows what they might be? Echoing consequences in this temporal space. But eternally, I have mercy. And then also fosters awareness. I receive his mercy, and it makes me more aware of sin and more aware of the things that break his heart as I experience his love more and more, his tremendous love for his creation. And there's more mercy than there is of my sin. There's always more mercy than there is of my sin. Isaac the Syrian, a wise old man, had this to say. Elder Doug, how are you? Good, it's good to see you, buddy. Yeah, just put it down the tub. Thanks, man. Again, I had this wonderful, magical, theological mic drop, and he walked right in.
You've had 20 of those so far.
Yeah, Sonia blew one. Listen to this. This is a quote from a very old, wise man. As a handful of sand thrown into the great sea, so are our sins of all flesh in comparison with the mind of God. And just as a strongly flowing stream is not obstructed by a handful of dust, so the mercy of the Creator is not stemmed by the sins of its creatures. To me, huge. But in comparison to the mighty, loving mercy of God, it's like dust sprinkled into a stream. And the mercy of God just washes it away. In mercy, he offers all sinners forgiveness. But what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Repent. I need to repent. That's what they were talking about in their class tonight, as a matter of fact. The importance for all of us to live a life of repentance. Okay? Here's the passage that we'd like you to look at this week. Read it with me, please. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Micah 7:19. You'll have compassion. You're treading our iniquities underfoot and casting our sins into the depths of the sea. It means to live a life of repentance. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. We die to sin on a daily basis. Get to the end of my day and I'm like, man, I screwed up. Like Peter, who denied Christ how many times? Three. Jesus even gave him a heads up, right? Heads up. But Jesus came alongside with him at the sea and says, hey, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Three times. To live a life of confession, to live a life of repentance. Most merciful God, I confess, I sinned against you in thought, in word, and deed, by what I've done and what I've left undone. I've not loved you with my whole heart. I've not loved my neighbor as myself. I'm truly sorry, and I humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me and forgive me, that I might delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. And he who forgives us, what does he do? As far as the east is from the west. As far as the east is from the west. So no doubt, Pastor Reggie feels tremendous frustration and pain and hardship, knowing that so many of our brothers and sisters willingly held to their baptism, held to their confession of faith. But here are a bunch of brothers and sisters who in grief and sadness just want to come back to the fellowship and come back to home. And so what does Pastor Reggie say? We believe in the forgiveness of sins. Yeah. He will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. How serious? Some of the sins? All the sins. Even the really bad ones? Even the really bad ones. But to God and his mercy, it's just a grain of sand in the ocean of his love. thoughts, reflections. Yes, Tiffany.
So how's Reggie still here if he didn't announce?
He was actually in a side village. I had him doing some visiting work when the whole thing went down. And so by God's providence, he was off helping me. He was a young apprentice at the time. You denied too, didn't you? No, so he comes back and he finds out this whole thing has happened. And people understand that I was training him up to be my apprentice. So he, with much humility, steps into that position. Yeah, Lance. All who were forgiven. All are forgiven. Forgiveness is for all, for those who receive it. Yeah.
Is it hard for him to forgive like it is for us?
No. Goodness, no.
So he sits up there and he's crushed by all these crazy choices we make and these bad decisions.
Yeah.
And we just say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, blah, 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 blah. And he's just like, okay. And then the next day I do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, God.
Yeah.
And how many times?
Seven times seven? 7 times 70? What's that? That's why we lead with love. Remember, that's one of the reasons that the creed is structured the way it's structured, okay? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator, maker of heaven and earth, okay? Lead with the Father part. Why? Because love leads. If you start with the Almighty part, then maybe we don't get to the love part and we're just so mad and powerful and overshadowing. But no, we remind ourselves that it starts with love, that first he is Father, which means first he is loving. He leads with love. And our challenge is to become like that. This next Sunday coming up, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, abide in that love. Is it going to be easy? Is it going to be hard for Reggie to lead this church going forward? It's going to be difficult. But we'll press into the table, the communion table together. We'll get to share and remember that, I'm forgiven, you're forgiven, we're forgiven. We're forgiven. Yeah, as far as the east is from the west, casts all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Even something that might sound as heinous and as serious as denying our baptism. Oh, yeah.
Where does it say east to west?
Psalm 103. Yep. Yep. Any other closing thoughts? Questions? No, that's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing about East and West. They never touch, do they? What's that? Flat earthers. Why don't we stand? I want to pray over you. If you haven't yet, you have hope projects to decide on and execute on. If you've done a hope project, make sure that we know what it was. I'd love to hear what the experience was like. Next week is your last week of Creed. Okay, and then there's also worship night that night. And then the week after that, all of us will be together, that class, this class, and we will dive into the way of Jesus, the Ten Commandments. High five. Turkey.
How are we doing that next week?
How are we doing it next week? I have to, we should all, well, we'll all be here. You'll be doing your class here normally. Yeah. That's at 7. Yep, so there's a break time. Yep. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love, that you lead with love, that love goes first. We proclaim that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. Thank you that we receive that forgiveness. Help us to practice that in our fellowship. That this is a dirty, messy place. It's a hospital. Sin has destroyed so much. We pray the blood of Jesus over all of it. He is our healer. He is our King. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We hold on to these truths. May your blessing rest upon these, my brothers and sisters, as they walk in the faith, as they wrestle with these things, as they hold on to these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a great one.